Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We're going to talk a little bit about fatherhood today as part of our series of Front Porch Wisdom as we're going through Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about parenting. And so we're going to spend some time talking about that. We're doing it in the context of fatherhood because it is Father's Day. And so throughout this summer, we are going through different topics covered in the book of Proverbs. And Hawaiian shirts. I'm going to make a joke about like Carl Christman Day, but then Carl went shirt on that guy. In this section of Proverbs, David read it for us earlier there in chapter 23. It's a prolonged section of this instruction and conversation from the good father to his son of words of wisdom. And so we're going to pull out some different principles of things that a good father teaches his son. It isn't necessarily limited to sons as well, the wisdom here that is in this. In this instruction, we learn ways that we can be good fathers as well. Now, one thing we want to take note of is recognizing for some people, Father's Day is not a joyous occasion. Dad. Just an absent, or maybe dad was not the kind of person that you were being around. For some people, not a happy thing. We recognize that. Or maybe you are in a situation as a single mother, and there's not a dad in your kids' lives. Or maybe you have never had your own children. You don't relate in that. You have a father, but you yourself are not a father. We recognize that this is can bring up different emotions for different people. But I think in these principles, if you're in that kind of situation or in that stage of life, what I encourage you to think about and think through in these principles that we're going to discover here in Proverbs is how you can just do these as a person in investing in the lives of other people. Because one of the things that we recognize is that children, we all get to play a part in that, in the families that we are connected with, especially in the context of church, where we have an impact. Lives of children that may not be your biological children. Maybe you lead them there. We're not going to read the whole thing again. We'll just read it bit by bit as we go through. But before we get back into the text, let's just pause for prayer. So Father God, we thank you for today that we can come to your word. God, that we can be instructed in it and by it. God, in these things. For those that are fathers, those that are learning to be fathers, those that have been fathering for many years, God, may we be encouraged, may we be challenged, may we be blessed in these words. For those of us that as we think of our fathers, think of the ways they've done these things for us, and those of us that have opportunity to do it for other children, that whether they're our own children or someone else's, that you give us the opportunity to speak into their lives. And so we just thank you for these things. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin in verse fatherhood. And the first thing that we see is that a good father teaches his children. A good father teaches his children. Again, verse 12 says, apply your and listen to words of knowledge. So this instruction implies here that the Father is passing on knowledge, is giving something to the Son to listen to. It's an invitation to words of knowledge that the Father has to pass along. The Father is taking time to instruct His Son in different ways. Now, when it comes to teaching our children, teaching and instruction takes intentionality. It takes time. And it takes dedication. It takes effort. We have to make that effort in order to do it. We need to make sure that we are spending more time teaching our children than we are spending on our hobbies and activities. You know, as men, we tend to like to get out and do things, whether it's golfing, hunting, fishing. You know, maybe we're a project person. We like to work on our property or whatever, or we're, you know, putting in lots of hours at work or whatever it might be. When it comes to fathering, though, we have to put in the time. We have to put in the to teaching our children in that. And we cannot just allow the teaching to be done by the church or by our spouse or by the schools or whatever it is. There are things that we as fathers have to teach our children that they're not going to learn elsewhere. And I'll say this on teaching, and this applies for a lot of the things we're talking about. Whether you're taking the time to teach them or not, you're teaching them something. You're always teaching because they're always watching and learning and observing. And so I encourage you to consider, take the time to teach things to your children, things they need to learn. Because there's a lot that they need from you that they're not going to get anywhere else. So we go from this idea of teaching and passing on knowledge and wisdom and instruction to the next one, which is discipline. A good father disciplines his children. Verses 13 and 14 here. Proverbs tells us here, it says, "Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol." Sheol is, in the Old Testament, Sheol is the word, the Hebrew word for the place of the dead. It's not Gehenna, it's not hell necessarily, meaning if you punish him, he'll come to save. That's not what it's saying, but it's saying he's not going to go do such end up turn from the discipline. That's the word for dead. Now, discipline, this is something I didn't understand until I became a parent, right? Discipline is a necessary thing as a parent. Our children need discipline. Good. It gives them healthy boundaries and a sense of security and comfort within the family. Children that don't receive discipline have a poor sense of self, have no idea of where they're at in the world, what their responsibilities are, and it does not set up children well for their life. And so there are some thoughts out there that we should not discipline children, that they should just kind of let it figure it all out on their own. But we've discovered that is actually not to their benefit. So children need structure. They need discipline. It is good for them. Now, the Proverbs here talks about disciplining with a rod. So let's talk a little bit about that. So the mention of a rod here in Proverbs is not to be taken as a mandate or a requirement for form of discipline used when it was written. The rod doesn't mean other than corporal discipline. It would mean corporal discipline, but it's not a mandate, not as a command. Proverbs are general truths given to us instruction as a so it was not, it is a form, and there are points where it can it is not the only. What you need to in your household is you need to have an agreement between whomever is parenting these children, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's a step parent type of situation, and you need to have a plan for how the children will be disciplined, and you need to have agreement. Because one thing for sure, if you are not on the same page, your child will be confused and scared when it comes to discipline. Okay? So, it is not the only effective means of discipline, but we're not saying that there is no place for corporal discipline. But the principle here is not about using the rod. We should not make it about the rod. The principle here is about the discipline. Okay? That discipline needs to be present. The principle is to provide discipline as opposed to not providing discipline for a child. Now, there is, I think, a major temptation for fathers, and maybe this is shifting as roles shift and change in our culture, but I still think we're going to. And that temptation to avoid disciplining their children. I would say this is very unwise and this is very unfair to our wives or to whomever the female partner is disciplined to be, whether it's you're living with your parents as a single dad and your mother's helping you. I don't know the situation, but you as a dad need to be involved in the discipline of your children. All right? We've made a mistake at points when we've said that that alone is the work of women. Men need to be involved in that. At the same time, let me say this. If you're in a situation where the wife is at home with children and the husband is going to work because he can earn enough that you only need one income, and that's a blessing right there, it is not fair to the husband for the wife to never discipline the children and say, wait till your father gets home, wait till your father gets home, wait till your father gets home. All right? That's not fair either, because then the children become scared of dad when he comes home. All right? So there's got to be a good balance there. Both parents need to be involved in the discipline. So the best practice is for the parent who observes the misbehavior to deal with that directly. And if there's something that comes up that you have not crossed yet, as children get very creative in the ways they disobey, all right? And you're not quite sure because you as parents have not faced this situation. There is nothing wrong with you. We're going to let you know what you have a chance to talk about it. Through on it, okay? So that you are on the same page. So, here that we want to make sure is that involved in the discipline. All right? It is a biblical ability as a dad to be involved and not abdicate that to our wives or to the mothers or grandmothers or whomever it is. A good father observes his children. A good father is aware, is noticing, is watching and seeing what is happening in the heart of their child. Verses 15, this here, he says, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. See, here in this section, this father speaks of rejoicing and celebrating because what is in his son's heart and what the son is saying. Well, how can you do if you're not paying attention? If you're not plugged in to your children's lives? This assumes that the father is observing the son's ways and the son's words and is aware of what is going on. So as a dad, we have to ask ourselves, are we plugged into our kids' lives enough to know what they're thinking? Are we listening to them? Or are we so busy and distracted to take the time? Do we hear them speak when they're with their friends? Do we ever observe how they are in these different contexts? And these are there's a lot of pressures on our time and stuff as men and as dads. So here's some thoughts on how you can do this. And these are some of the ways that I've done it. And I am not saying that I've done this. And I'll say it gets more difficult. The first one would be when they come over. Invite friends and see their friends. See how they interact with their friends. How are they just around their friends and not just with family? Play with them. So there's nothing more fun than when I beat my son and his friends in basketball, 1-on-2. So that was fun. I don't know if Peyton remembers that, but that was you and Jack against me. And but those are good things to do. Here's another field trips. So I've been blessed with a flexible schedule where I can do some of that during the week when there's children's field trips. And I've lost track of how many times I've been to a stinking fire station, I will tell you that, all right? So I don't know why we go to so many fire stations, but my kids have been to the fire station more times than I can count on field trips. And I can tell you, on those field trips, dads, I'll say it's sad how many dads are on the field trips versus, well, what about like that? Do that. Memories and stuff, and opportunity for you to see how you know your friends and get to know their friends and have influence there. So use your vacation time if you need to. Dad that's plugged in. Running field to do that. Or some other things you could do. Coach your kids' team. My dad did that growing up. Great memories of my dad coached, so I've tried to coach my kids in different things. Coach. Be the team dad. All right? Be involved in that. Be a scout pack leader. Maybe scouting, right? Something like that. Be a 4-H leader. Find a way to be with your kids in their activities with their friends. See how they are. And look for those teachable moments in those times. Be actively engaged in your kids' lives in those things. You will reap great benefits and build great memories with them in it. Fourth thing, a good father disciples his children. Verses 17 and 18, he instructs him, don't let your heart envy sinners. Always fear the Lord, for then you will have a future and your hope will not be dashed. This instruction to fear the Lord, he is instructing him in the ways of following Yahweh, following God. We might say Jesus is New Testament. So a great thing to do is structured devotional times. And believe it or not, we've struggled at times to do those. Like, we've tried to do them. We try to do them at dinner time and stuff like that. But then as activities get busy and things get crazy, it can be hard. Those are great to do. But you can also be looking for those teachable moments as well in life. Right? It doesn't have to just be in a structured time. Deuteronomy 6. We looked at this in our previous series as we talked about worshiping as a family, right? In our Heart of Worship series. But Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 is this instruction for us. It says, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. That would be the words of the instruction of God's word are to be in your heart. And Israel was to do this. They were to repeat them. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down. And I don't necessarily read structured times. I read I'm in the house when I'm not in the house. As I am doing life together, I should be teaching my children in the way. I remember this one time, family was together with for Thanksgiving, and some grocery shopping at the store before the meal, and we went to the Fred Meyer individuals. There were clearly that were sitting out at the street there in the parking lot, and so. We just kind of felt this feels really odd, as we're very blessed and we get to have this time with family, and we go through and we're going to go buy groceries, and here these people are clearly hungry. And so we approach them, offer to buy them some food, and we go and we buy their stuff for them, and then we do our shopping. And it was just one of those opportunities where, being with one of my children, that I had to model the gospel to him, that probably meant more than a lot of devotionals over the dinner table, of just acting out the way of Jesus together to show God's love to other people. So looking for those opportunities, they're all around to show these things or have these conversations with children. Next one. Himself for the sake of his children. A good father disciplines himself for the sake of his children. Verses 19 to 21. The father's words are this: "Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine or with those who gorge themselves on meat. For the drunkard and the glutton, grogginess will." See, these verses are instructing us regarding drunkenness and gluttony. Of course, eating too much, drinking too much alcohol there. Of course, we know that eating and drinking is not wrong, but to do either in excess is to our detriment and is sin. Now, the father in this passage warns his son of these excesses. But as I read this, I thought, you know, it really wouldn't mean a whole lot for the dad to tell the son to not do these things. Do as I say, not as I do. So I grew up in the 80s, and there was a famous TV commercial in the 80s at the anti-drug movement. Some of you might remember this one, where the dad breaks into the teenage son's room because he found drugs in the house. And he yells at his son, "Who taught you how to do stuff?" And dramatically, the son yells back at his father, "You, all right? I learned it by watching you." Remember that TV commercial? That was drilled into our heads. We have to discipline ourselves. This is great instruction that the father gives to his son. You know? Don't waste your life on alcohol, on gorging yourselves on that, or on food and being unhealthy and all of this stuff. And it's but that discipline. We have to be an example to them, because they're going to see it in your life and they're going to follow what you say. And not what you do. You should what you do and not what you do. Right? If there's an inconsistency. We should be saying it. Right? So we have to discipline ourselves. They're observing our behavior. Right? And that goes for so many things. There is nothing more than the father when you see your own shortcomings in your children's behavior. Amen? Oh, that is a hard one. It's like, oh, I haven't modeled that very well. When you see those outbursts of anger, and it's like, oh, that one's on me. Because I show my anger too much. that those are hard moments. So we have to model it as dads. What we want to see in our children, we have to live. All right? Number six, a good father honors the mother of his children. A good father honors the mother of his children. 22 and 23. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So the father instructs his son to not despise his mother when she is old. Now, in the cultural context, care for his mother if she is widowed. It's talking about a season of life. So in the immediate context, it's talking about that. But the general principle here we need to teach our mother responsibility for as men. Mother and to teach them. It applies to all forms of families, whether you're married to their mother or not. If there's been a divorce in the family, just because you are not married to their mother anymore does not mean that you get the right to disrespect their mother and vice versa. That is their parent. It's their job to honor their parent, and you model what that looks like to them. Now, if you're married to their mother, this should be easy, and you should be doing this and doing it well. If things are going well in the marriage. All right? So things like we do not talk down to our wives. We do not belittle her. We do not mock her. We do not embarrass her. Intentionally or unintentionally, I will say this. You as dads are teaching your children how women, including their mother, should be treated. Based on your words to your children, how women should be treated. Now, I don't have any data on this, but I firmly believe the biggest cause for domestic violence is not model proper respect for women in front of their children, because the next generation does not learn it properly. They have one in their life, and that's just flat wrong. And then the other thing is your daughters think that they are unworthy of respect and deserve to be mistreated. And fathers and leaders of our households to properly model respect for women and children if the next generation is going to get it right. So that's on us. And it's a big responsibility that we have. Next one. A good father celebrates. Father celebrates his children's growth. Verses 24 and 25. It says, the father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Let your father and mother have joy. Let her who gave birth to you rejoice. Now, dads, in case you have not figured this out, your children are going to make mistakes. There's actually going to be a lot of mistakes made. When my kids were younger, I used to, joke about, family. And I talked to couples in marriage counseling about this. It's like you're taking one broken and sinful person, and they're getting married to another broken and sinful person. You're sticking them in a small apartment or small house to figure this out. And then you might even add in some sinful children in there. They're going to make all kinds of mistakes. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. It's going to be because kids are great at sinning. They're just great at it, right? They're making mistakes. They're figuring it out, right? At the same time, though, they're going to also get a lot of things right. They are going to do well. And when they do well, you should feel proud and praise them when they do so. Right? Colossians 3:21 says this. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. And I'll tell you what, the biggest way that we can exasperate our children or wear them out, is another translation of that, is only speak words of discipline to them. If we never praise them for the good things that they're doing, if we never tell them that we're proud of them, if we never tell them that we love them, if we don't do those things, we will fail on this command. If the only thing they hear is harshness. And I've had my children, point out to me, I just got home and the only things that you've said to me were words of criticism. And it's like, ah, I failed. I failed in that moment. Because it was just harshness after harshness after harshness. It might have all been true, but it wasn't all kind. It was done in a harsh way. So we need to celebrate the signs of growth. We need to speak positive and affirming words in and when we see the growth, to be a responsible person and loves others. Tell them you're proud of them. Last thing, verse 26. A good father models godly living for his children. Verse 26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. So we've talked about modeling already a lot in this. And fatherhood is a great responsibility. God is entrusting to us the hearts of children. And we get to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit in the shaping of our children. He invites his son to trust him. He invites him to observe his ways. This implies that the father is actually modeling what it looks like to walk with God. Now be assured this, dads. Your children are you. And you are shaping them for good or bad. And there are going to be ways in which we fail. And I've had to ask all of my children at different points in time for forgiveness because of my failures and inadequacies as a dad. Times when I've failed, I've blown it, and I've gone to my kids and said, I was wrong. And I've asked forgiveness in those times. And in case you think that admitting my failures to my children somehow kind of less of a man in that, I would say you're dead wrong. For this act of asking for forgiveness means I am modeling for them the humility, modeling for them confession, and I'm modeling for them seeking forgiveness. Which when we cannot do those things, we cannot have healthy relationships with other people or with our Heavenly Father. If we cannot come in humility and confession and seek forgiveness, those are good things to model. They're great things to model to our children. Now, I want to say one more. I said last thing, but it's not really last thing. Let me recap, because some of you that are prodigious note takers and missed one, you're not going to sleep tonight until we get these all, right? All right, so good father teaches, a good father disciplines, he observes, he disciples, he disciplines himself. He honors the mother, he celebrates his children's growth, and he models godly living. All right? Now, the last thing that really this is the conclusion. I promise, all right? Solomon is the author of this in Proverbs, right? Solomon started out really good. You can read about him in 1 Kings. Great king, started out. God gave him wisdom, all these amazing things. Solomon finished horribly, failed all over the place. Now, why do I mention that? Because as I mentioned, I know I've failed at points as a father. You've probably failed as a father. Maybe God's put some things on your heart that, I missed it on that one. Listen, for Solomon to be able to write this, in spite of all of his failures, I think it points to the offer of forgiveness and grace that is there for us as fathers. That God was willing to use someone who made so many mistakes that he made to pass on his wisdom through that person speaks to the offer of forgiveness and grace for our failures as dads. In Jesus' statement that he is always with us, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, the end of Matthew 28, that he is always with us, is a reminder that you have Jesus with you. And whether you've done a great job up until now or not, there is forgiveness and grace for those mistakes. So take that to Jesus. Ask for that forgiveness. Go to your children. Ask for that forgiveness. Go to your dad. Talk to him. Whatever it is that God's put on your heart. Know that there is grace and forgiveness anywhere in this where we fail. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of dads, the gift of fatherhood. But God, we also confess, Lord, that it is a tall order. You give us the example of what it is as our Heavenly Father to be a father, and none of us do it perfectly. We've all failed in different ways. And yet you have said in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, we just claim that, Lord. God, we confess ways that we have failed. And we thank you for your forgiveness and grace. God, may we seek to do well for our children. Seek to model following you well for their sake and for the sake of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.